Welcome, welcome, everybody. We have a small house today, but that's okay. We're here to praise the Lord. We're glad everyone's here. And we have, what do we have? Announcements, Adult Sunday School at 9:30. We didn't do it today. We have Gleaners on Wednesdays. It opens at 11, so be here by 10:55. And if you know somebody that's in need of helping with food, why be sure and call. We have our Zoom prayer meeting on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. And if you go to our website and click on the prayer meeting button, it takes you right to it. It's very convenient. Thank Debbie for that. I use it every week. Our monthly potluck is next week, and we do have a turkey. So we'll be cooking a turkey so you can kind of bring all of the sides that go with the turkey dinner. Yeah, they are. First of all, we're talking about the ladies' convention, and it's coming up, I can't see the date, May 4th. And the deadline for the registration is April 25th. So I encourage you ladies to go. It's going to be a fun day. It's always a fun day. And it's only at Newburgh, so we can get there pretty easy. So, yeah. And they are looking into the Strawberry Festival. That's right. So we need volunteers, that's for sure. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this building that we can come and just concentrate on you and just praise your name, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for Rhonda and playing the music, and I thank you for Debbie and Jean up there doing the electronics, and for Pastor Teresa, what you've laid on her heart that we are going to learn from you today. And I just thank you for everyone that's here, Lord, that we can just fellowship and worship you and praise your name. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Be with us as we sing praises to you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So let's stand and sing. We're going to say the call to worship. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4.
You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock.
Amen. Amen, amen. All right, we're going to start with Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. It's a good one.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for with love I have sought. Since Jesus came into my heart.
my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which are many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Right. All right, everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. As we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Amen. Isn't that a beautiful picture?
Yeah. Love that.
can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own, yet in my weakness He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that He holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins when ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves to us His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We see Your face. May we know Your feel Your presence, acceptance as we seek Your face. Move among us now. Come reveal Your power. Show Your presence, acceptance, move among us now. At Your feet we fall, sovereign Lord. We cry, holy, holy, at Your feet we fall. We cry, holy, holy, at Your feet we fall.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. God bless each and every one of you. Oh, I need it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your providence this week. Thank him always for the gift of each other, finances, homes, cars, duties, and opportunities to serve. If you're watching online, remember, you can go to tithely.com and you can contribute to the ministry there. But let's give him thanks for the many blessings he has given us. God, thank you for all the things you give us to make this life in this world, this temporary home, worthwhile and have meaning. Thank you for giving more than just what we need to survive, food and housing, but your very presence to make those things more meaningful. Thank you for family. Thank you for jobs. And thank you for divine appointments along the way. Thank you for the money to make that life of ministry in all those circumstances work. Amen. Now it's time that we get to be family. And I know there was somebody the other day who asked me when the kid stuff was skipped, if there were kids here and it was just skipped. And I was like, no, I don't know. I was home on the computer. I don't know. But just if you're out there watching and you're wondering, we're going to skip the kid's song and kid's prayer because there's no children here. Oh, well, I mean, we are children of God, yes. But I just don't want anybody out there to think that there was an intentional overlook. Just because there's no kids in the house, we're going to skip that part and go into the sermon after prayer. So those of you who are online, if you wonder, now you know why. So again, now we get to be family. We get to share prayers and praises. I would like to ask you guys to continue to lift up my family because the healthy one from the family is here. And the rest of them are going through the head cold. And Claire has another really bad round of tonsillitis. And again, praying that we all can get back to healthy and stay healthy just before spring break so she can have her surgery. So prayers for Claire's upcoming surgery from us. And then a praise I have to share is that my father-in-law continues to build strength and is continuing to show more independence in his daily life again. So thank God for that. Is there anybody else who would like to share? Bill. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Lord, for a home for Joe and Ashley and Jacob and Aubrey. The two J's and the two A's, that's the only way I remember it. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Lord. Josh. So Josh is asking on behalf of his mom, Betty Culver, to pray for her. She's going through a rough time right now and would appreciate our prayer support. Yeah. Josh is lifting up prayers for himself as well. 25 years ago today, your son died. Yes. So prayers that the Lord will comfort you this day more than most. I saw a couple more hands. Tony. It's a praise to have Carolyn in the house and that Tony got to tickle the ivories. Yeah. Yep. I always forget that I got two brothers that can play the piano. What a gift that is. Donna. Donna's lifting up her second son, Jeff, and some repairs that need to happen to his ankle repairs. So further corrections that need to happen. And also for her granddaughter, Catherine, with strep throat, that it doesn't go throughout the whole family, especially not to Jeff, so it delays the surgery. So we understand what that's like this last season. Yeah. Bill. And was Michael a coworker? I'm trying to remember. Yeah. Calmo. So Bill's got three things he'd like to lift up to the family. The first one is Michael Oyetende. I think I got that right almost. Yeah. A coworker at work. His daughter has stage 4 cancer and is having a rough time with chemotherapy. So prayers for the medicine to work and for her to be able to endure. Sometimes that's what that is. The first one was for Dave Schmidlin, right, Bill?
Yes.
Fell and broke an ankle. And I know I went to school with some of those Schmidlins, great people. So prayer for Dave Schmidlin and his ankle to heal quickly. And there was, yep, that name should ring a bell for those of you who've been out in this area for a long time. And then the one in the middle, Bill, I forgot that one. Oh, your coworker, Robert McDonald. Judy.
Pray for my granddaughter's marriage, my granddaughter's mother, to
Oh. Okay. So Judy's lifting up her granddaughter by marriage, mother, Tiffany. Tiffany is the person we're praying for, and she has some kind of blackness that is on her extremities. They think it's autoimmune related, but they're not sure. So prayer for the doctors to, one, figure it out, two, figure out how to treat, and three, that that happens successfully for Tiffany. So prayer with Mackenzie, who has to go. That's your granddaughter by marriage, correct? And then, so prayer for Mackenzie as she supports her mom, Tiffany. Debbie, I think I see your hand up. So check out the district prayer focus in the bulletin and make sure you pray for that as well. I didn't grab a bulletin this morning, so I admit I'm ignorant as to what it is this week. Anybody else? All right. Josh, I would like to ask you, brother, if you would come forward. We would like to lay hands on you today. This is a very special day for you. We would like to support you through this. I'm going to ask Pastor Teresa to lead us, and if anyone else would like to come and lay hands on Josh right now, please come and do. No, right there. Then other people can gather around you.
Lord God, we lift up Brother Josh to you right now. Thank you for such a gentle spirit that he has, that he is your servant, that he is shining his light wherever he goes. He's always being a witness about the love of God. We thank you for using him in that way. And right now we lift him up. He is feeling down. He still remembers the precious baby boy, George, that you gave him. But it was a very short-lived life, and so he still mourns the loss on occasion. And so we lift him up to you now. Comfort him as only your Holy Spirit can. Let him know, just be a reminder, that that baby is with you. And one day Josh is going to be able to meet his son in glory. We thank you, God. We thank you. We lift up his mom, Sister Betty. You know all the things that plague her, Father, and you care for her, each and every one of us. Touch her even now, God. Remind her who she belongs to, that she is a child of the High King who loves and cares for her. We thank you, God, for doing it. We thank you for restoring our hearts. In Christ's name we pray it, even now. Amen. Guard his mind, guard his spirit. Amen. Right, I'm going to turn the mic back over to Pastor Ivan to pray for our other concerns and praises that we've had today.
Let us go together as a family for the many needs we have shared with each other and the praises of what he has done. Father God, thank you for being God. We can wake up in the morning, often painful, but often in peace, when we remember you are God, and we don't have to be. So we thank you, Lord, for being our almighty provider, the one who watches over our steps, the one who goes before us and makes straight our paths, who pushes temptations aside to make way for your ministry in our lives. Lord, we lift up many who are not doing well with their health, from simple head colds to throat infections to respiratory needs to mysteries in the extremities of bodies. For those that are having complications with their sight and not able to be here today, we lift them up as well. Lord, continue to work in Wink's eyes and in the eyes of Helen. Bring restoration of sight, not just in who you are in their lives, but so they can see it with their own eyes in the lives of others. Lord God, we lift up Lori Cooper still, who can't be here today, and we lift up the co-workers from Bill's work that are dealing with injuries and illness and a family member fighting cancer. We lift up Dave Schmidlin, Lord, and a broken ankle. When you're as old as he is, it is a long recovery. God, give him the strength to go through it. Lord, we lift up so many more things before your throne. But God, we also say thank you for a home for Joe and Ashley and the kids. A place to live that probably suits their personality. Thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you for their energy in our family at Gales Creek. Lord, thank you for all the things you have done. Safe travel to work and back this last week. Homes to live in. Family at Gales Creek to call our own. And for waking us up each day. Lord, I lift up my cousin Jeff and his ankle surgery coming up. Lord, we praise you that the doctor has figured out what to do. Lord, we ask that you watch over his daughter Catherine with strep throat, that it doesn't go throughout the family and cause a problem for that surgery. Lord, thank you for Tony being able to help us worship last week. Lord, there are many gifts you have given each and every one of us, and sometimes we share them, angels unaware, with each other. Thank you for that privilege. Lord, we fail not to ask you to give wisdom to our leaders. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Teresa. We ask that the words you have given her fall upon our hearts with a resounding message that you have for us to hear today. Lord, we ask that those who are in political positions over us, whether at work or in this world's government, Lord, we ask that you give them wisdom to make good and godly choices that benefit everyone. Lord, in the stories we hear of chaos in our cities, we ask, Lord, that you be present and keep safe your children. But that we also know this world is fallen, and we look forward to a day when you will come. Restore it. Restore our bodies and restore your kingdom in physical form. Until then, we call you Lord and say thank you for bringing us into the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ivan, for leading us in prayer. You know, prayer is so important. I think sometimes we forget that we have that privilege to be able to talk to our God. He is not far away and doesn't care about us. You know, sometimes when I think about it, I was able to visit the Capitol this past Monday, I think it was. One of my friends is a representative, and it's their last session, so we went to celebrate with them. And I was thinking to myself, these people who we vote in office, Rhonda, they don't care. I mean, they care a little bit, but not enough, right? You got to go petition to them, and you got to lobby and get all the things. It's not like that with God. And He is the most powerful. He's above any magistrate on the planet, in the universe. And He takes time to listen to little old me. Ain't that something? So don't forget to cast your burdens onto Him, because He actually does care for you. He actually cares, unlike some of the people we voted into office. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, so we are in our Epiphany series, and today is actually our last Sunday talking about the Epiphany. And remember what Epiphany is. It's that revelation. It's that aha moment. It's like, Eureka, now I understand. And in our Christian tradition, we declare Epiphany. It's actually January 6th. It's actual holiday. It's a holy day in the Christian community. We officially celebrate when the wise men from the East came and were able to meet the baby Jesus, the Messiah. And what's so significant about that is because they were not Jewish. How did these people who did not read the book of the people of Israel know about their God and about His Messiah? It's because God reveals Himself to all of humanity. Doesn't matter where you live, you don't have to be Jewish to understand who God is. And so He says, I am constantly at work revealing myself. And so in our series, we have seen Jesus being revealed to the sick and the suffering. Remember, that was our first lesson. And then we saw Him being revealed to the unclean. Now, in the Jewish tradition, unclean is for those who are physically unclean. You've done something, you've touched somebody, like with lepers. You can't touch them because then you get unclean. When women menstruate, we're unclean. And then you have to go through a ceremony to get cleaned. But Jesus is saying, it's not about your physical uncleanliness. It is about the cleanliness of your soul. And this is why I am here. And then Jesus is revealed to the crowds of people, including, remember that we talked about last Sunday, John the Baptizer, his own cousin. They're somehow related, grew up together, and yet, who knew that Jesus was the Messiah? God reveals Himself to Jesus yet again. He says, don't forget, I am with you. I know this task is coming that is great and overwhelming, but I am with you. So He whispers to Jesus, don't forget, I'm here with you. And He shows Him physically that the Holy Spirit is on you to anoint you. And then the enemy gets to discover who Jesus is. Because remember, the enemy has been waiting since the fall. Because God had said, okay, I see you cutting up. But there is going to come a day when the offspring of this here woman that you tempted and got her to go astray, you're going to bruise the heel of his foot because he's going to be standing on your head. And so ever since then, the enemy was looking, well, I wonder if it's this one. Oh, what? Is it Moses? Oh, no, it's not him. Is it Elijah? No, it's not him. Is it Elijah? No, it's not him. Who's the one that's going to bruise my head? And when Jesus is baptized, and after he leaves, he's driven out, the Spirit says to him, work with me and I'm going to be with you. And then the enemy says, oh, what's happening over here? This is another prophet that's being visited by the angels. Let me get in on this. And then he realizes, oh, it's not just any old prophet. He's claiming to actually be the Son of God. Well, let me have a few words with him. Because if you're really the Son of God, he says, then this, 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 and that. And of course, Jesus gives him a side eye. Please, I know who I am. I don't have to do any of these things to prove myself. The proof is in the pudding because I'm here and I'm going to be about my Father's business. So even the enemy gets the revelation of who Jesus really is. And so today, as we close this series, we're going to be reading about Jesus being revealed to the three, as I call them, the three of his closest followers. So follow up as I read from the New Living Translation, Mark chapter 9. We're going to read just a few verses from the beginning of the text, skipping verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly beach could ever make them. And then, suddenly, immediately, is what the word says in Greek, Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He said this because he didn't really know what else to say. Why? Because they were all terrified. Him, John, and Jack. What is happening right now? They're terrified. And then, listen to what happens. A cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved son. Listen to him. And suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. And as they went back down the mountain, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept it to themselves. But they often asked each other what he meant by rising from the dead. Amen to God's word. Fascinating. Yeah? When we read the account of Jesus' transfiguration, we are reminded of the author's intention of the book. The book of Mark was written to witness that Jesus is both God's human servant and God's divine son. Mark lists throughout the book a miracle after miracle to declare to the reader that without doubt, Jesus is the Messiah. He performs miracles as evidence or proof of his deity. And yet, we know Jesus is fully human because he was born like the rest of us to parents, right? He had a family. He was raised in Jewish community. He ate and slept and experienced emotions just like we do, right? Which is why Mark made sure to point out Jesus' nickname for his own self, because Jesus made up this nickname for himself, Son of Man. because he wanted to remind people, I'm human just like you. And yet, I am divine. So, one might argue that the different types of miracles Jesus performed revealed a different aspect of who he is and what exactly he had power and authority over. Because he cast out demons, right? He healed lepers, blind folk he healed, and even, there's a little bug here. Goodbye. Goodbye, bug. So he healed the blind and even raised the dead. Those miracles showed that he had power over disease and death itself. He even has authority over demons, and these make him at least equivalent to the prophets of old, right? Because the prophets of old did those things. Jesus has power over the elements as well. Remember, he changes water into wine. He multiplies a few fish and just a couple of loaves of bread to feed thousands of people. And he even calms a storm. And again, we see the other prophets who do those things. Because any good Jewish person in that day and time, they knew the law of Moses, they knew the Ketuvim, they knew the books of the prophets. So they knew what those prophets did, right? So here's some of the things that the other prophets did. Elisha, for example, increases a widow's oil so that she can pay her debts and live off the remaining oil for daily provision. You find that story in 2 Kings chapter 4. Let me just read it briefly to you. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors, and then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask." A flask, y'all, just a flask. "Pour it," he says to her, "into all of the jars, as many as you can gather, setting each one aside when it's filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and then she filled one after another, and soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. Listen to what happened. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on whatever is left over." Ain't that something? That's God. To stretch that very little. But he says, if you follow me, if you have faith, I'm going to make it work out. That's what the prophet did. What does Jesus do? This is why they knew he was at least a prophet. Took a couple of fish, took a little bit of bread, and guess what? Filled thousands. He filled all the grown men and then their wives and their children. And most families back then had a lot of children. So it wasn't just the 5,000 that you read in scripture. It's 5,000 plus. Because they all gathered to hear the rabbi speak. But then here's another example. You see Moses, because Moses is the prophet as well. he stretches his rod out, remember, and he parts the Red Sea. So if you haven't read the Exodus story, you've got to go back and read that. It's some good stuff. Exodus chapter 14 is where you're going to find this account. I'll read just verses 21 and 22. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land, so that the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Now, who can do that? Only God. Only God. And then he will use one of his servants to make it happen. And so this is what he did with Moses, his prophet, his mouthpiece. Go and raise your rod real quick. It's time to get the people out. It's time to go. They had been praying for generations. When, Lord, how long, Jesus? How long we got to keep doing this? Go on over there and do that. Commanding nature itself to obey. And so the sea parts and they can walk through. And this is why his disciples were like, wait, did Jesus just tell the story? It sounded like he told the wind to stop blowing. Yep, that's what he did. And it stopped. Mm-hmm. Yep. Why? Because he is the Messiah. He's not just a prophet. He actually is the Messiah. So Jesus keeps on doing these things to show them who he is. So now when you get to the transfiguration, and I should also point out, Elisha also raises someone from the dead, right? So it's not the first, Jesus isn't the first person to raise someone from the dead, right? He's not. But again, to the Jewish people, they know he's at least a prophet. Because there's another prophet, John the Baptizer, out there preaching and teaching. He's a prophet too. So God has sent back prophets to us. What does this mean? But Jesus says, oh, I'm more than just a prophet. The transfiguration sets Jesus apart from the rest of God's prophets, however. Jesus invites the three, as I call them, James, John, and Peter, to come away with him to be alone. And usually, right, when Jesus went away from the crowds and even his 12 disciples, because he doesn't take his 12 with him, he gets away even from them, he's seeking silence and quality time with God. Again, Jesus teaches us so many lessons when you read the scripture. This is one of the sidebar lessons that we need to really learn and understand and practice in our daily lives. We must take time away from all the busyness of our life to spend quality time with God, our Creator. When we do that, God can pour more into us, so that we can go and be effective when we leave his presence. We'll be glowing like Moses was. We'll be glowing like Jesus was. And so then the world can't help but notice how we stand out because we've spent some time in the presence of God. So that's a sidebar lesson. But Jesus does this, and he invites this time three of his closest, come with me, come with me, come with me to pray. Let's get into the presence of God. And so I imagine that's what he said to them. Come, accompany me for a time of prayer. And what ends up happening, however, it's not just a prayer time, right? They just didn't have a prayer meeting. The Spirit of God moves on Jesus and his three disciples witness it. Jesus is physically transformed in front of their eyes. So I'll define transfigure so we're all on the same page. Per Merriam-Webster dictionary, transfigure is defined as to give a new appearance to transform outwardly and usually for the better. That's the definition of transfigure. So the outer appearance is changed. Go back and look at that description in the scripture. What does it say about Jesus? He becomes a light bulb because he is so bright. They don't even have words to describe it. Not even the strongest bleach could get you that white bright. You can't. That's just how bright he was. And again, if you go back into Old Testament scripture, which is why he had those three disciples there with him, because they knew Old Testament. What happened to Moses when he was with God? Anytime he was in the presence of God, he came back to the people shining bright. And it scared people. It freaked them out. It was like, Moses, do you know what's, you're kind of bright. And it scares people. Like, we can't hang out with him. That's what happens when you're in the presence of God. God is so bright. He is pure light. So he allows those three to see Jesus transform like that, to become this glowing, pure glowing, a being in their presence. So in addition to his clothes and his facial appearance glowing, two pillars of the faith stand with Jesus and they talk with him. So now, again, how did they figure out that it was Moses and Elijah? I don't know. The Spirit revealed it to them because they knew, the three of them standing there were like, that's Moses. What? That's Elijah. Whoa, with Jesus shining bright like an angel. Why did God do that? Well, many people will say Moses represents God's law. Because what did Moses do? He leads the people out of the land of Egypt, but then he also stands up some practices and procedures. Hey, if we're going to be called the people of God, this is how we need to conduct ourselves. And so that's how the Moses law is formed. God says, here, take this to the people. Because they can't just act any old kind of way and claim to be my people. Okay, they just can't. So having Moses stand next to Jesus says, God gave his law, but then also God gave his word through the prophets. And this is why the greatest prophet, Elijah, is standing there also next to Jesus, showing the disciples, this man right here, who you think is a mere prophet, he ain't no mere prophet. In fact, it was just a few days ago that Peter says, because remember, Jesus asked the question, well, who do people say that I am? Oh, well, they think this and some think that. And Peter goes, you're the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus is like, yep. And only the Holy Spirit could have revealed that to you. So he's showing them, Peter, those words that you uttered, that you fully didn't even understand. It's true. And that's why the law of God and the word of God are right here endorsing who Jesus is. So it says to those three, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so to those three who were standing there watching this happen, it is a confirmation of Christ. They hear God's voice speaking his approval. Not like when Jesus was baptized, the voice was just for Jesus. But here, they actually hear the voice of God. And what does God say to them? Listen to him. And when we say listen to people, we don't mean just hear. Okay, Sister Debbie, for the people who just hear you and then it goes right out the other ear, that's not the kind of listen that God is talking about. When he says listen to him, he means obey him, follow him. what he is saying to you, those are the things you need to be doing. How he is living before you, that is how you need to be. Because being created in the image of God means acting like God, being who he designed and created you to be. It's not just some rules that you're trying to follow. You are actually being who he has designed you to be. And so they get that confirmation. They hear the word of God and they see the two witnesses establishing the facts of the matter. Because remember, per Mosaic law, how many witnesses do you need to establish an issue? At least two to three. So he's got his two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, to stand and confirm who Jesus is. And they witness the light of God shining on Jesus, his Shekinah glory. Now let's talk about the light. The light that symbolizes God's presence literally changes Jesus' outer appearance, right? So this is what we need to understand about the lesson, another lesson that's in this passage, that Jesus changing physically symbolizes the inner change and transformation of all who follow him. See, Jesus stood there and his outward appearance changed because it showed that the Holy Spirit was on him, that God was there with him. And what he's trying to say to his three disciples, just like I'm changing on the outside, I'm going to need you to change on the inside. If you're going to follow me, you're going to change. You're going to have a transformation of your heart and of your mind. And what is he transforming them to? He's transforming them back to the very image of God. Remember way back in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when it came time to create human beings, he created he and her in the image of God. He created them. It was because of our sin that we don't look like God anymore. We don't act like God anymore. But through the work of Jesus Christ, that image of God is restored to us so that every day, we're looking more and more like God. Some people will say, you've changed. And they may say, Pastor Ivan, did he lose weight? Did he gain weight? Maybe it's his haircut. No, he's got new glasses. It must be the frames. Oh, no, actually, it's the Jesus in him. That's why he's changing. That's why he looks different. And his voice sounds different. It's because he's been spending more and more time with Jesus, who is transforming him back into the very image of God. And so is it the same for any believer who follows Christ. You are going to be transformed from the inside out. Jesus was transformed and he has made a way for us to change for the better. That's what transfiguration means. And to be transformed to the unsoiled image of God. That was God's plan for all along. That's why he said to the enemy of our souls, just wait, I got something for you. There's going to be one who's going to bruise your head. And all these people that you've got doing all the things that you want them to do, they're going to change. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to restore them back to the very image that I created them in. That's what Jesus came to do. And now you may be wondering, so I get Jesus' transfiguration. He's shining bright like a star, showing that God is with him. He's got this. He's going to do this great thing. But why would God allow Jesus to reveal that he was going to suffer and die? Because that was also part of the conversation. And then furthermore, like in Jesus' true formation, right? He tells the three not to tell others what they witnessed until after he had suffered, died, and been resurrected. Now, God, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Well, this command may seem curious because it's not the true form of Jesus' standard reasoning of don't tell anyone. Because you remember, we've talked about that. Why does he tell the people? Don't tell anyone. Because other people will think he's the Messiah that's come to conquer their enemies and right all the wrongs right here and right now. Or as he told his mother, remember, he even told his own mom one day, mother, 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 my hour has not yet come. He's like, nope, it's not that time yet. He didn't give that reason to the three while they descended the mountain and returned to the group. His, you know, he says, don't tell anyone until after I've risen. Why would he say that? This time, I propose, the rationale for not sharing who he was and what they saw is because he wants his followers to have a reason to hope after he dies a horrible death and is resurrected. You see, Jesus knows that dark days of persecution lie ahead and that his followers will need to know that they know that they know that the Jesus they have chosen to follow really was who he said he was. He is the Son of the living God. He is God's Messiah. The three will serve as witnesses because, again, what do the Jewish believe? It has to take at least 2 to 3 people to be a witness, to serve as witness that something is true. Those three will serve as witnesses, just like Moses and Elijah, to the others who follow Christ in the days to come. They will share how Jesus was changed right in front of their eyes and how the glory of the Lord was on him. And what will they be saying? If God was with Jesus, he will also be with Jesus' followers. And that means you, me, which is why they write down the stories that they did and told all the people that they did, which is why we have the canon, the Bible today, because it is a witness of who Jesus was. And it is a reminder to you and to me, modern day followers of Christ, that yes, there are some bad things that happen. Yes, you're going to have to put your dog down because nobody lives forever, not even our pets. But even in that, you know that you have hope. Why? Because Jesus already overcame all the things. And he is with you to empower you to keep going, to keep at it, to keep loving others, to keep forgiving others, to keep shining your light and being salt. So the takeaway for us is that despite our suffering, despite our challenges, and look at what happened to Jesus. He's the Messiah for crying out loud. And what happened? Look at how they treated him. So he says, even if people were to do those things to you, it's all right. It's all right. Because I am with you. We're going to live in this world. We're going to have some highs. We're going to have some lows. All followers of Christ should know that God confirmed his call and his anointing on Jesus as his Messiah. And when we think we can go no further, we can look back at the transfiguration and remember that Jesus is transforming us, changing our inner person to be more and more like God. He is our Savior here in this world and in the world to come. Amen? Pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the many lessons that we learned just by reading short passages. You've revealed so much to us in these last few weeks. That Jesus isn't just for the saved. Jesus isn't for the high and the mighty. Jesus is for those who live in the margins. For those who are looked down on, who are cast out, or even forgotten. And yet, despite all of those things, you still care for us. You sent your Son just for us, for such a one. Thank you, God, for that. Not only did Jesus come for us, but he's passed on his ministry to us, those who name the name of Christ, to go out into the margins, to reach people, compel people to come and know who God is. Experience your love. Help us, God, to be bold, to be brave, to listen, follow your spirit, to be kind, to be joyful, to offer support to others, to not be judgmental, but to be patient, and to pray for others who need to know you. Give us understanding, Lord, how to better be like you. Empower us to trust you for salvation for today in this present life and in the world to come. We ask these things because we know it's your will. It will bring you glory, and we need your power to make it so. And so in those reasons, we ask it in your holy name. Amen. All right, let's close with a song, and then we'll come back and be dismissed.
Right, we're gonna sing. We're gonna sing. Everybody sing Praise to the Lord.
Everybody sing praise to the Lord. Everybody sing praise to the Lord. Everybody sing praise to the Lord. For he is so wonderful. Everybody sing praise to the Lord. Everybody sing praise to the Lord. Everybody sing praise to the Lord. For he is so wonderful. For he is so wonderful.
Amen. He is so wonderful. Thank you, praise team. Our people in the sound booth, projecting our slides. God bless each and every one. Those of you singing, it's beautiful to hear your voices. It is that time now where we dismiss ourselves from our presence here in the sanctuary. But remember, as we go, we do not leave God's presence. He is actually with us. His Holy Spirit lives in us to empower us to be more like him every single day. So I want to encourage you, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, go in God's peace. Know that he is with you to empower you. Be bold, be brave, be loving and kind, and remember to shine your light. Until we meet again, God's peace be with you.